Welcome to California Highways Route by Route. This podcast explores everything about the numbered highways in California, from Route 1 along the coast to US 395 along the Sierras, from Route 8 in the south to Route 139 in the north.
Brought to you by the California Highways webpage and Gribble Nation.
I'm Daniel Fagan. I do the California Highways webpage at www.cahighways.org.
I'm Tom Fear. I'm one of four admins on GribbleNation.org. Typically, I'm the one writing about the Southwest region of the United States, or the vast majority of what we write about for California.
This is episode 2.10, Route 1, The Lost Coast.
In our last episode, so far this season, we've been exploring California highways route by route with Route 1. We've covered all current Route 1, covering the segments from Dana Point and Orange County through where Route 1 turns inland to meet US 101 at Leggett and Mendocino County. Along the way, we discussed the history of the various cities, the planning for freeway routings, names used for the highway, plans and projects along the highway. We've also discussed other things related to Route 1, the first routes nationally and in the state, and where legislative Route 1 was located. This all built upon the background we built in the first season of the podcast, where we discussed the history of the system, which serves to explain the eras of the state highways, and what we mean when we talk about legislative route numbers. The numbering approach to state highways, which explains how the route numbers were chosen and why, the names of the state highways and how they were chosen, the organizations involved in the state highway system. If you want to catch up on any past episode, we encourage you to go to our Spotify for Podcasters home at anchor.fm/CA Route by Route or our forever home at caroutebyroute.org and listen to the back episodes.
In this episode, we're going to explore a portion of Sign Route 1 that is no longer part of current Route 1, the Lost Coast in Mendocino and Humboldt counties. We'll do our usual exploration, covering interesting history along the route, proposals for freeways, the stories behind some of the names on the route, and interesting projects proposed for the route, although I really don't think there are any of those. This episode will cover more than just Route 1. We'll look at post-1964 Route 208 and 211, and as such explore their legislative counterparts as well. This is our last episode on Route 1. Next time, we'll turn to Route 2 with an episode on Route 2 in the flatlands of Santa Monica and in Los Angeles. And then we'll conclude the season with an episode on Route 2 in Glendale and across the mountains along the Angeles Crest Highway. You know, I've had in these notes for the longest time going over the entire history of Route 1 every time for new listeners. And I think for this episode, I'm going to skip it. It sort of gets repetitious. And what we're really focusing on here was part of Legislative Route 56. In particular, we've been talking about now Segment F, which was Ferndale to Legislative Route 1, US 101 near Ferndale, and the gap between the end of Segment E in Westport and Ferndale. Much of that whole gap became the Lost Coast. So, after Legislative Route 56 was defined, there was a particularly interesting change in 1955, when they added some broader wording of a coast route through Jenner, Westport, and Ferndale, and added a lateral connection to US 101. Legislative Route 1 near Leggett Valley. That corresponds to the turning inland north of Rock Point, continuing to meet US 101 at Leggett. That's what became Route 1 in 1964, but that very quickly changed.
Route 1, as defined in 1964, generally corresponds to LRN 56. However, the last segment, now defined as Segment F, from Route 101 near the southerly end of the Marin Peninsula to Route 101 near Leggett, via the coast route through Jenner and Westport, was instead Route 101 near the southerly end of the Marin Peninsula to Route 101 near Fernbridge, via the coast route through Jenner, Westport, and Ferndale. Note that this included the quote-unquote Lost Coast, or really the more official name, the King Range, segment north of Rockport to Ferndale. The lateral connection from LRN 56 was legislatively Route 208 after 1964.
So let's talk about Route 208. In 1964, Route 208 was defined legislatively. Remember, 64, everything became legislative definitions as Route 1 to Route 101 near Leggett Valley. Although it was legislatively Route 208, it was signed as Route 1 because Route 1 was unconstructed through the Lost Coast region. The segment added to Legislative Route 56 was originally Federal Aid Secondary Route 504. And we've talked before about this whole Federal Aid Primary, Federal Aid Secondary, Federal Aid Interstate, Federal Aid Urban distinctions that once existed. They refer to funding sources for the highways and the splits. The terms have sort of gone away, but the important thing to take away here is what became Route 208 did have federal funding in its construction. Anything you want to add on that?
So to kind of explain this, and I think this really plays well with this particular episode of the podcast, if Route 208 was to be signed, here's how it would be signed and sealed. You would literally have Route 1 suddenly cease at Usel Road, which is like basically a really indescript dirt road near Rockport. It's really in the middle of nowhere, and you really have to look for it. And all of a sudden, you'd have Route 208 suddenly appearing into existence as the sign route signage. It really didn't make any sense, even after the 1964 renumbering, to have Route 208 signed, unless the segment of Route 1 through the Lost Coast was actually built, which it wasn't. But we'll kind of get into more why this changed, this being officially Route 1.
Right. And so they picked 208. They used the number because they didn't want to have a spur route with the same number as the main route. And so they kept it legislatively as 208. So on paper, it had a different number. But they signed it in the field as Route 1, which they didn't really like to do. Now, the legislation stated that the state would not have to maintain the roadway until it was brought up to Division of Highway Standards. And so maintenance of that by the state began on July 1st, 1957. So you're going to ask, since this is where we cover Route 208, what was Legislative Route 208? Well, in 1921, the legislature authorized the Department of Engineering to, quote, make an investigation and submit a preliminary report upon a proposed state road with the necessary bridges connecting the city of Vallejo with a point on the state highway near Sears Point in Sonoma County. So we're going from Vallejo to Sears Point, beginning at the intersection of Butte and Tennessee Streets in Vallejo and running thence northerly along Wilson Avenue to the limits of said city, thence continuing along the paved county roads through the Bay Terrace District to a point in the vicinity of the lands formerly owned by the Vallejo Brick and Tile Company, thence leaving the mainland and running westerly across the Napa River to Island Number 1, situated on the immediate west bank of the Napa River, and immediately north of Mark Island and adjacent to the east shore of San Pablo Bay, thence northwesterly along San Pablo Shore Levee to a point near the mouth of the Sonoma Creek and running westerly across Tubbs Island and across Tole Creek to a junction with the state highway in the vicinity of Sears Point. It appears this highway was not added to the state system at that time in 1921. Then in 1939, the legislature defined Legislative Route 208 as the route from Legislative Route 8, which was Sign Route 37 near Sears Point, to Legislative Route 7, which was US 40 near Lake Chabot. This was originally signed as part of Sign Route 48. Don't confuse that with US 48, which was something different. In the 1964 renumbering, what was Legislative Route 208 became part of the second segment of Route 37, from Route 101 near Novato to Route 80 near Lake Chabot, in the vicinity of Sears Point and the former Sears Point Toll Road. What happened in 1964? Well, LRN 8 included the segment from US 101, Legislative Route 1 near Novato, to US 40, Legislative Route 7 near Cordelia, via the vicinity of Napa. This was signed to Sign Route 7, with Sign Route 48 running across the top of the bay to US 101 near Lake Chabot. So you sort of had it sort of did an L in there, and 37 went up over to meet 40, if I remember my maps correctly. In 1964, this route across the top of the bay became Route 37, and the remainder of Route 37 became Route 121. And we'll have more on this when we discuss these routes in a future season, but that's going to be a bit down the road. Route 37 is particularly interesting because it has massive exposure to climate change, and they're talking about lots of work on that route. There was never a pre-1964 sign route 208. Do you want to say anything about Legislative Route 208, Tom? The whole what route, what is now Route 37, what was then Sign Route 37, Sign Route 48.
This was the famous suicide alley of San Pablo Bay. This was one of the three-lane state highways where you had a passing lane in the middle between the travel lanes. This is, now today, there's a concrete barrier that divides it and doesn't permit passing like that anymore. It was one of the very last that was in that configuration, actually.
And when you look at the map, when you look at the history, it's interesting, and I know I have some stuff on my highway pages that talk about some of the planned freeway routings and some of the reroutings near where 37 and 121 meet that Joel Windmiller had sent me.
And this is a highly controversial highway, given the whole climate change element to it, too. Because if I recall correctly, kind of the favored approach now is a tolled facility, which ironically, the highway before it was even a state highway, it was tolled. I know that's not very popular, but the other alternative I recall seeing was rerouting it kind of along the mainland, and it would just be way, way longer than the current Route 37 is now.
Yeah, but this changed. In 1984, Caltrans realized that the route through the Lost Coast would never be built. So the legislature transferred the portion from Rock Point to Route 101 near Fernbridge to Route 211. So the whole unconstructed portion from USAL Road over to Fernbridge became Route 211. And then it took what was Route 208, but signed as Route 1, from Route 1 near Rockport to Route 101 near Leggett, and they made that officially part of Route 1, which truncated the definition of Segment F to be Route 101 near Leggett via the coast route through Jenner and Westport. So Tom is now going to tell you about Route 211.
The original Route 211 before 1984. In 1963, Route 211 was defined as Route 99 near Delano to Route 65. This was a portion of former Route 65 on the Famosa-Porterville Highway on LRN 136, with a planned bypass for Route 65 around Decor and Carabella. In 1965, Legislative Chapter 1372 deleted that definition of Route 211 and added it as a segment of Route 155, and one of pre-1964 LRN 211. Nothing. It was never defined. It was a gap in the numbering system for some reason, even though the numbers went way higher than that. Division of Highways may have had something with this number, but it never made it into the post-1935 codification of the legislative route numbers. There also was never a sign Route 211 before 1964. In fact, unless you count sign Route 440 and 740, which I believe never were signed, I've never seen any evidence of that, the pre-1964 sign route designations ended at 198.
Okay, Tom, so what can you tell us about the pre-1984 portion of Route 211?
So basically, this is a leftover relic of the original sign Route 65 on Famosa-Porterville Highway. So this is not something that was part of that highway for very long. It was realigned very early on, I want to say off the top of my head, around 1940. So what tended to happen in the state highway system up until the renumbering, specifically 1965, is even if highways were realigned, a lot of the old alignments would remain in the system and kind of just fester there without much of a purpose. This was a good example of this, given it was deleted in 1965. The portion of Famosa-Porterville Highway we're talking about specifically is now part of County Route J-35. And as an interesting aside, in Tulare County, which has the most county signed route designations in California of any county, you will not find a J-35 shield on any of this. You won't find county sign route shields anywhere except for J-37. But what's really interesting about Famosa-Porterville Highway is that you have a lot of relics from the old Orange Belt Railroad spur, which used to go all the way from Fresno via Porterville to Famosa. So there's a lot of like abandoned railroad trestles and things like that. So it's kind of a neat highway to drive just as a relic if you really want to kind of get how the old state highway system probably used to be. And it's fairly close to Bakersfield, not very difficult to locate.
And then a portion of this also became Route 155 from Richville up to, what's that, Delano, not Delano, Ducat, something like that?
Ducor.
Duport.
Ducor.
Ducor, okay. And then the other half of 155 was a different LRN. So interesting little area and a little bit of an aside. Where does that leave us, Tom, going back up to the Lost Coast?
So by 1984, the Lost Coast segment had been moved from Route 1 to Route 211. So this is kind of an interesting thing to bring up. Everyone seems to say when this topic comes up with the Lost Coast that the highway was canceled. Not really, because it was never deleted by the legislature, so it's still sitting there. I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to get built, but on paper, it exists as planned Route 211. The routing is unconstructed from Route 1 to Ferndale and is not signed. The portion of the route between the Ferndale city limits and US 101 is signed, and it was been signed fairly recently. I do not recall being signed in 2014, but when I was up there about 3-4 years ago, it was. It's not signed on US 101 from a guide sign, but on route it is. The 2013 Traversable Highway Report notes that the segment from the Mendocino County line to Ferndale, which is 73.2 miles, has a traversable routing of Chemise Mountain Road, King Peak Road, Wilder Ridge Road, Matully Road, which are not constructed to state highway standards. These roads are not in the state highway system, but represent an approximate routing for the segment of Route 211. There's no plans to adopt these routes, as they are unacceptable candidate highways. Having driven them, they're basically really primitive, haggard asphalt roads that are usually one lane wide. For the segment of Route 1 to the Humboldt County line, which is 29.6 miles, the closest analog is Usel Road. That road is primitive and unsuitable for use as a state highway. In fact, there's actually a seasonal temporary bridge that's brought in for summer travel on Usel Road. Most of the year, most of the OHV crowd that tends to use it, they just kind of wade through a bunch of the creeks rather than wait for the seasonal bridges.
One of Tom's things that he loves to do is do map explorations of the areas to learn the history. And he did a batch of interesting exploration in this area.
So some details I observed in my research. The map display in the August 1934 California Highways and Public Works shows Route 1, which was LRN 56 at the time, as a functionally existing highway from Westport north to Fortuna. The 1934 Division of Highway state map shows state maintenance of Route 1 / LRN 56 from Mendocino north to Fort Bragg. It also shows from Fort Bragg northward the implied route to Upper Matully and from Upper Matully to the implied through highway through the Lost Coast to Ferndale. The 1935 Galsha Highway Map of California shows Route 1, LRN 56, ending at Westport, the road continuing north to Kenny on Usel Road. From Kenny, the highway to Thorn Junction appears to have followed Bryceland Road to Thorn Junction. From Thorn Junction to Edersburg, the highway followed Edersburg Road. From Edersburg to Honeydew, the through highway follows Wilder Ridge Road. From Honeydew, the through route in the Lost Coast follows Matully Road to Ferndale and the north segment of Route 1 / LRN 56 to Fernbridge. The 1935 Galsha map doesn't offer any evidence that Route 1 was signed by the California State Automobile Association in the Lost Coast. First Division of Highways map to display the rough plan general alignment of Route 1 in the Lost Coast was the 1953 edition.
Anything you want to add on those?
So basically, this was an overlay of existing logging roads and logging ghost town roads. And really, the Lost Coast region isn't as primitive or as lost as most people probably think it is. There's a lot of communities that still exist, and we've named quite a few of them. And the further back in time you go, the more active this region was. You have certainly a lot of logging, which I already mentioned. Usel was actually even a town. It was a company-owned town in the area. It was a major logging outlet. Rockport was actually where they would bring a lot of logs, Rockport or Fort Bragg, but within Rockport there was actually a branch railroad line that went out to some coastal rocky outcrop and would actually pick up logs via ship there. Petrolia, which I don't think we've mentioned in any of this so far, is actually the site of the first petroleum wells in California. This area, the Lost Coast, really has declined in significance. It's not devoid of people. It's not like the Santa Lucia Mountains of Big Sur where nobody lives at all. This area is inhabitable. A state highway, in theory, if there was a need, could definitely be constructed through this. It's not an overwhelming geographic challenge. Just think about in this context, what is the need? And you think about it, we get to 1959, we get the freeway and expressway system. The priorities for the Division of Highways, the predecessor for Caltrans, changed from doing things like conventional two-lane highways to like expressways and freeways. There certainly was no interest even by 1959. There certainly is no interest now.
And it's certainly impossible, given environmental regs, to justify building something larger through that area. Just the environmental reports, I think, would be almost impossible. What is the future of Route 211? Will it ever be completed? Well, Tom noted on AA Roads that the terrain is far from conducive for building anything but a road that hugs the terrain. So, you know, it's a really narrow road, tight curves, and so on. The Lost Coast would require massive excavation of mountains that are at times thousands of feet high. The terrain of the Santa Lucia Range is essentially compacted mud, which is why both regions are so slide-prone, especially during rainy winters. The King Range is full of logging ghost towns, as Tom commented, that were inhabited during the early 20th century, but were largely abandoned even before World War II. Scott Parker, who we still miss, added that when the Lost Coast extension of Route 1 was projected back in 1959, much of the impetus before that came from logging interest, looking for a more efficient way of hauling redwood out to the mills along US 101. As the construction needs for redwood have long passed, and most of the mills are out of operation, there's little call and even less need for such a road. Occasionally, there have been proposals for a southward extension of Route 211 from Ferndale, primarily as a recreational route, following forest roads and eventually cutting back to US 101 near Garberville. But Scott agreed with Tom's description of the area as a huge mud patch, resulting in extensive road closures during rainy periods, and the cost of grading and ballasting that would just be out of line for the likely traffic levels for such a highway. And of course, as I said, the final nail in the coffin would be satisfying current environmental requirements plus the requirements of the California Coastal Commission, which is in charge of that area. Their mitigation requirements would probably be very onerous. Now, Route 211 does include one very famous structure, which is the famous Fern Bridge near Ferndale. Approaching the end of the 19th century, residents of Ferndale and Greater Eel River Valley petitioned for a bridge to be constructed at the Eel River. The destruction from the 1906 San Francisco earthquake necessitated any bridge located at the Eel River to be constructed of reinforced concrete. On November 8, 1909, the Humboldt County Surveyor submitted a report suggesting the location of Singley's Bend as a recommended site for the Eel River Bridge. Humboldt County accepted bids by Pacific Construction to build the Fern Bridge during 1910, and construction broke ground on March 20, 1910 at Singley's Bend. The concrete arch construction of Fern Bridge was designed by engineer John B. Leonard. The Fern Bridge was completed on November 8, 1911, and opened to traffic on November 16th. It had a total distance of 2,501 feet, and at the time was the longest arch concrete span in the world. The central arch concrete structure of the Fern Bridge was 1,451 feet, with the balance of the structure's remaining length comprised of wooden approach span. The Fern Bridge road deck at the time was 24 feet wide. Construction of the Fern Bridge cost just under $246,000. The Fern Bridge was subjected to flooding along the Eel River during 1912, 1913, 1914, 1915, and during 1920, the wooden approach to the Fern Bridge was replaced with concrete ramp. In 1933, the extensions to Legislative Route 56, what we've talked about before, signed Route 1, brought the Fern Bridge into the state highway system. Flooding at the end of 1955 damaged the concrete western approach to the Fern Bridge. This was repaired in 1956. There was also flooding during the Christmas floods of December 64. The Fern Bridge, notably, was one of the only structures along the Eel River to have survived those floods with minimal damage. And the Fern Bridge, in conjunction with Blue Slide Road, was pressed into duty as the temporary alignment of US 101. On September 24, 1976, the American Society of Engineering designated the Fern Bridge as a significant civil engineering landmark. Following the floods of 1986, Caltrans District 1 recommended conducting a study to remove the Fern Bridge in favor of a modern span, but there was a lot of resistance from the community about the removal or replacement of the Fern Bridge. And by April 1987, the Fern Bridge was added to the National Register of Historic Places. Caltrans ultimately decided not to remove the Fern Bridge after it was added to the register. During August 1990, the Fern Bridge was given a poor sufficiency rating of 10.8. In April 1992, the Cape Mendocino earthquake shook the North Coast and the Eel River Valley regions with a 7.2 magnitude earthquake. There were two 6.5 magnitude aftershocks after that near Petrolia. Despite the shaking and the poor sufficiency rating of the Fern Bridge, the structure survived. The bridge was renovated in the years after those earthquakes. By 1998, the sufficiency rating had gone from 10.8 to 33.0. Then in December 2022, the 6.4 magnitude Ferndale earthquake struck just offshore of Ferndale. The Fern Bridge was closed for a day while temporary repairs were made. In March 2023, there was an emergency G11 allocation, getting into terminology here. Normally, when the state is spending highway funds, there are funds that are allocated in advance and emergency allocations. So when Big Sur washes out, they do an emergency allocation to send the crews to fix it, and then they later retrofit it into the state highway, the SHOP. I forget what the acronym stands for right now. So there was an emergency allocation of $7.8 million for Route 211 near Ferndale at the Eel River Bridge to repair this. The damage assessments indicated structural damage to the bridge at multiple piers, columns, girders, and bents. This project was repairing the bridge, replacing the bridge railing, and putting in erosion control, and this was then put into the SHOP. And since then, we've had a number of projects where the Fern Bridge will be closed for a day. I know there was some damage from recent storms on it, but it just keep surviving and keep staying open. You've probably been out on the Fern Bridge. Do you have some observations on the bridge and why it's lasted so long?
It's just a good design. It was meant to stand the test of time. I think there will come a time, though, when the bridge just won't be able to facilitate modern traffic, but it doesn't appear to be anytime soon. When I featured the structure in Gribble Nation after it survived the earthquake in 2022, there's a lot of reference for this bridge. In Humboldt County especially, I was very, very surprised by that. It's probably the most well-known and most beloved structure in the county is kind of what I gathered from it.
And with that, we have finished Route 1. We've gone all the way from Orange County up to the Fern Bridge and covered Route 1. Just an odd question that popped into my head, though, before I go into the lead-in for the last two episodes. Just last weekend, I was out in Naples. Do you know what I mean by Naples, Tom?
Remind me real quick.
Naples is this little island out by Long Beach. We had gone out for a concert, a folk music concert in Long Beach, and we went to a rib joint, which was really good, out on Naples. And we're on 2nd Street, because it's on 2nd Street in Long Beach, on the island, and I note the concrete reflector divots that mark a state highway. The state highway system used to put little reflector divots in the center islands between the roadways. Mike Ballard taught me this ages and ages ago. And so I noticed it on 2nd Street on Naples, this edge of Long Beach, and it's right near PCH. It's right near where PCH meets. It's over near Studebaker and the area where Bellflower comes in. So that right at the edge of PCH and the Orange County line. And I'm going, I don't recall 2nd Street ever being a state highway. Are you aware of any state highways down right near that edge of PCH in Long Beach?
No, but Long Beach usually emulated a lot of the vision of highways designs. The Long Beach freeway extension actually was like a one-for-one emulation of what the state had built. A lot of this is now Interstate 710, so there's a history in that city of basically just taking what the Division of Highways was doing and just copying it one-for-one.
So they may have just copied the sort of expressway approach style of the Division of Highways when they built 2nd Street into the Naples area.
I'm assuming. Sometimes in the California Highways and Public Works, especially from the 1950s onwards, they would feature projects like federal aid secondary or federal aid primary that weren't state highway, where they would be built to state highway standards. And I know Long Beach, the example I already gave, was one of those projects. And I think it's very, very possible that this would be just another example, and it might even be in one of those volumes.
It's an example, and I mention it because it's basically Route 1 adjacent, of how you need to pay attention when you drive the highways. There are often little signs and markers that show former state highways, and looking for the reflector divots is one of those things you can look for. We finished Route 1. That's what brought this up. Starting with the next episode, we're going to talk about Route 2. And Route 2 is really interesting. I had fun writing those episodes. Episode 211 will be on the Flatlands portion. So this will explore Route 2 through Santa Monica, West Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, West Hollywood, Hollywood, Silver Lake, and Glendale up to the 210 freeway. Episode 212 will cover the Angeles Crest Highway from I-210 to Route 38. Now, the episode 211 discussion will include coverage of the proposed Beverly Hills Freeway, the current Glendale Freeway, and the connection between the two, which you can still see evidence of if you know where to look. We'll also discuss some portions of US 66, which ran along Route 2, and the Pacific Electric, which ran along Route 2 in Beverly Hills. And when I was growing up, my grandmother lived just off of Little Santa Monica. And I remember seeing the old PE right-of-way, which ran along Santa Monica Boulevard and was the dividing line between Little Santa Monica and Big Santa Monica Boulevard. We'll also briefly explore LRN2 and some famous second routes that just try harder. And I don't know whether anyone's old enough to get that reference other than me. For more information, visit the pages on Route 1, Route 208, Route 211, and Legislative Route 56 over on cahighways.org. Tom has two good Gribble Nation blogs on this, one on Route 1 through the Lost Coast and one on the Fern Bridge. And we'll put some additional links, if I can find them, up on the show page at caroutebyroute.org.
As always, information on this episode is available on our website, caroutebyroute.org, where you can leave us comments on the episode. This episode is also available on our anchor.fm home, anchor.fm/caroutebyroute. Join us as we continue to explore California highways route by route.
And as I'll remind folks, please spread the word about the podcast. Mention it to your friends, like it, favorite it, subscribe, spread the word so we can up our listenership and let more folks learn about California highways. This episode was written by Daniel Fagan and Tom Fear, edited and produced by Daniel Fagan. Our opening theme is I Like to Be by the Seaside by John H. Loderkind. I believe it's actually from a piano roll, which is why it's in the public domain. Do you have an opening theme you think might be good for our show and is either in the public domain or willing to let us use? Let me know. Episodes are recorded using freeconferencecall.com. And this podcast is a product of California Highways at cahighways.org and Gribble Nation at gribblenation.org. And now, what I always like to do is close with a little discussion. What are your thoughts on the Lost Coast, Tom?
Well, kind of going back to what I said, like it's just a little bit of this preconceived notion that the area is just another Big Sur when it's very different. It's one of the many areas in California which has basically been kind of forgotten about because it's long past its original purpose as far as the state history goes. So if you're into kind of like old ghost towns, old areas of the state, this is a really good area to visit. And like I said, a lot of the roads in the area really aren't all that bad, so long as you're not going down Usel Road without like something with heavy-duty high clearance and four-wheel drive, you'll likely be fine. A lot of people vacation out there, like an adjacent area that's kind of related to the unconstructed portion of Route 1 would be Shelter Cove. That's a very popular coastal resort area, but there's just a lot of good recreational opportunities. There's a lot of decent access from Ferndale or even the Avenue of the Giants, which is an older section of US 101 or State Route 254 now. It's worth a visit if you got the time. It's nothing really too overwhelming, I don't think.
How would you characterize the difference in the ghost town between the Lost Coast and what you find out in the desert, the ghost towns that you've got up, either, you know, the Calico-ish style off of Old 91 or even going up to the ones that are all the way up in the Bishop area.
So, like a lot of the deserts in the Sierra Nevada mountains, that was all central around mining activities. So, in the Sierra Nevada foothills were most of the traditional, let's say, name brand Gold Rush era towns are located, you have additional reasons for living there, such as ranching, sometimes logging, sometimes continued mining, like Jackson had mining for a very, very long time, tourism. On the whole, though, it's a pretty pleasant area to live. Unlike the desert, the Mojave, where you have, like, Calico is a great example of this. Once Calico went belly up, it went belly up too early for people really to want to live there without air conditioning. It's kind of hellish by comparison. And really, most of the people that lived in the desert long term lived around, like, major freight and transportation corridors like Barstow, which still are pretty significant in the area. A lot of the growth in the Mojave Desert today isn't from any real mining activity. It's basically outward growth of the Los Angeles, San Bernardino areas. And then you get up to the Lost Coast and really just the whole North Coast region, which includes Humboldt County. A lot of that area was where a lot of logging activity came from to build and construct all these roads and infrastructures and homes in early 19th century California or later 19th century California and 20th century. But a lot of it was redwoods too. So like to the modern taste, logging redwood trees is not a popular thing anymore. It was at the time because they were very, very abundant, and the coastal redwoods still are, but a lot of them are younger growth. So that's the thing, is you don't have a lot of old growth forests up in that area because they were extensively logged.
And so the nature of the ghost towns is very different.
Yes.
Well, with that, we'll invite you to go explore some ghost towns, and we will see you next time when we start exploring Route 2 on California Highways Route by Route.